About 2 years ago, excuse me, I got a phone call, or was it an email? I don't remember. Email from some people that I didn't know at all, but they had found my name and contact information off of the website, and they were two people who had made a decision to join together in a partnership and make a documentary, and they had done some research on some various subjects, and what they kind of zeroed in on is, if I, and correct me if I get this wrong, but I think the issue was that they wanted to deal with people who were making, you know, big changes in their lives and some of the ramifications of that, and some of probably the psychological aspects and so forth. And they, in a sense, were calling me because they saw from the Ex-Mormon Foundation information that there was, you know, quite a few of us out there who were making huge transitions in our life. And to make the story short, we met for lunch and had a long talk, and I told them a lot about Mormonism and about the issues that are involved with leaving. And I said, and who are you going to interview next? Or, you know, are you going to interview people from other churches or what? He said, well, we've got one more ex-Mormon we want to interview. And I said, well, who's that? And because it was from, they said she was from Portland. And he said, well, it's a woman named Kathleen Jones. And I just went, that's my daughter. And I literally saw the looks between you two when that happened. It was like, now this could be interesting. And it just evolved from there. And at some point, they decided to do it all about ex-Mormons. And this is a new business for Dennis and Karen. This is their first professional documentary. And we showed it at the humanist group that I go to. They had seen a few outtakes, and then a year or so later, they came and just before the finished product, and one man stood up and said, I've been involved with filmmaking for a long time, and I do a lot of editing work, and he said, the editing in your film is, you know, just absolutely wonderful. So that, I'm sure that gave him a little boost. And Karen does most of the editing, isn't that right? And so without further ado, I will introduce the two of them to you, and they can take the story from there.
Thank you, Sue. We're so excited to be here today and to be able to premiere our film at the conference. It's been a two-year journey for us, and as someone said to us not too long ago, we've been on our mission. And I'm a little nervous about showing to this group, because I know that you will be able to tell us if we've done a good job as far as telling your story. And I hope that we have done that, and that what we are presenting today will be our gift to you. The foundation has just been wonderfully generous to us. They've provided so much guidance to us along the way, because we started with basically zero knowledge of Mormonism. And it's been quite an education. My partner, Dennis Lavery, I would like to say a few words, and then we'll get the film started. Thank you.
I'm never able to say a few words. Everything Karen said, I reinvoke. I want you to know that there are Kleenex stations within the building here. We have 20 boxes of Kleenex for anybody to... We have a lot of people to thank. We have a lot of things we want to say. But for the first time in my life, I'm not going to talk. I'm going to let our film do the talking for us, and we'll talk to you afterwards. Showtime. I don't know where to start. Where's the Kleenex? You know, I've seen it 200, 300 times. You talk.
We want to thank some people who've been extremely helpful to the production. Our associate producers, Richard Packham. Sue Emmett. Kathleen Jones. And Dwayne Anderson, who I don't think is here today. And we want to make a special thank you to Diane Ormond, too, who was very influential in the film, but was not mentioned in the credits. Thanks, Diane.
Okay, I think I've recovered now. Karen just mentioned the four associate producers, and it's important that we realize, and we hope you realize, that what it takes to put this film together. We are not Mormons. We have never been Mormons. We didn't know anything but Donnie and Marie when we started this thing. Now we have a singing group that will go. The four associate producers are very important to us. When Sue told the story about how we met, she forgot a very important thing, and I can see why she forgot it. We found out about Sue Emmett by going to the Humanist Society and talking to a group about this size and saying, we wanted to make a movie about the decisions people make in their lives, and Sue was right about that. Sue wasn't at that meeting, but 3, 4, 5 people afterwards told us, you need to talk to Sue Emmett, and we didn't know who she was from a load of coal. Well, we Googled her. We found a story about her. Karen contacted her. We had lunch with Sue Emmett, and Sue told us about Mormonism, and we told her what we wanted to do, and she said, I don't want anything to do with you. I've got too many kids in the church. It'll hurt. It'll drive more wedges in my family, so forget about it. But here's some other people you can talk to. She gave us the name of Dwayne Anderson. Maybe many of you know Dwayne. He's not here today. Sue was our gateway to this story. Dwayne Anderson gave us the story when he said, and this was just after the PBS had done the four-hour series on the Mormons. And I said to Dwayne at lunch, and I said, Dwayne, we don't want to tell the same story. What's the story that hasn't been told? He said, the story that hasn't been told is the story of the Shadow Mormons, the people that stay in the church and anguish to be in the church, and the pain of the people that have gotten out of the church. Nobody knows that story. So we said, boom. Then a year ago right now, the name of this film was Temple Shadows. And this is where Richard Packham gives into it, although he had been very good to us in giving us interviews, as you see. Richard scribbled down on one of the responses we got when we showed this last year. He said, you know, we ought to call this In the Shadow of the Temple. So Richard Packham gave it the title. And where's Kathleen? Kathleen was incredibly valuable to us because we could not get one Mormon woman to talk to us. Nobody. X or whatever else, they were petrified. In fact, we had a young woman who was a senior at BYU who agreed to talk to us. And when we showed up, she didn't because she was afraid of not graduating. So Kathleen, thank you so much because you saw the beauty of the women in the film. You also saw a number of people in shadow, and there was one called David, who had doubts about his faith even when he was on his mission. And the last sequence you saw in him was he said, you know, I hope there will come a time where I can be honest with myself and I can be honest with my family. And we had a lot more tape on him, and we would go back and forth whether we should include her in the film or not. And Karen and I both, so this guy's not going to make it. There's no way. He's got too many little caveats that he can go hide in and just forget about it. Well, last night when we were sitting here, David walked up to us. David, where are you? David and Mrs. David, would you please stand up? No, stay standing. His name is Clark Turner. And when he talked to us a year ago, as I said, we didn't think he was going to do it. He did not only did it, but he took his wife with him. And if this is what our film does, and most importantly, they bought us lunch. If this is what our film does, if it can make these things possible, and there have been a number, you saw that Enigma, Michael Lee came out. Where is she? There she is. Marina, who was Grace in the film, is now Marina Larson. If this is what we can do with this film, again, never having been Mormons, we told stories about people. The church is on its own. They can do whatever they want to do. We just want to deal with people, and we hopefully that's what we did. It was an emotional trip for us. It still is for me. And again, Karen said this earlier to the smaller group we met with. This is our gift to you for what your struggle has been and for your courage and dealing with life. So thank you.
Do we have any questions? Any questions? Yes.
Dennis and Karen, I really wanted to thank you for putting this together for us and telling our story. Thank you. But I do have a question, because when you started the project, you had a poem that talked about a caged bird. And I thought you were going to tell the story of the bird in the cage, but this seems to be the story of the bird after it gets out of the cage. Talk to us a little bit about how the film has changed in your perception over the last 2 years.
Some of you might have read our blog. We do a blog once a week, and it gives us a great opportunity to talk to ourselves as much as to talk to you, because sometimes we're not sure what we're doing either. That's a great question, and I had forgotten about the poem, Clark. Thanks for reminding me. But what had happened, again, this was our first full-length feature, and we didn't know the process. We learned it as we went. And somewhere about a year ago now, maybe when we came back from Salt Lake last year, we were no longer in charge of the story. The story took it away from us, and we were the managers. We were the caretakers. It demanded from us what the story had to be. And we were so sure of things that were going to be in the film that you never saw, because the story said, no, not now. We have 80 hours of film, and we have brilliant individual pieces of people talking and things that they said would rip your heart out and terribly emotional. But the story said, not now. This is the story. So, Clark, we were just hanging on for dear life in the last year, because we weren't in charge. And to go back to your poem, I had two poems. One was called The Bird in Search of a Cage, and the other one was a poem called Sympathy. One was about a bird in the cage and a bird trying to find a cage. Because if you're in the cage, it's okay. You're safe. Nobody can get to you. But most everybody in this room, like the line in the poem, is beat their breast against the bars to get out. And that was the poem we were going to use. But again, the story said, no, it doesn't work here. And that's why we didn't use it.
You have a question from online. They asked, are you going to do another movie like this?
Well, we're not really ready at this point to make any decisions about our next film. We're just going to work really hard to market this film and make sure that it has a life that continues and that lots of people get to see it.
Oh, go ahead.
Is this on? Many of us who are leaving the church or have left enjoy sharing the light, bringing others out of the cult, kind of a mission. And it appears that you began to tell a story, and I'm wondering if this became more of a mission for you. Is there more purpose behind it now than when you began?
Well, I think our mission has always been the same, which is we want to tell stories about people. We want to tell stories about how people make big decisions in their lives. If anything has changed for us, it's that we are more deeply committed than ever to the idea that, you know, people have the right to make their own choices, and religious choices and other choices in life.
I have a question.
Yes.
sorry. I forget. I'm 5'2". Would you say, what would you say if somebody asked you if this film is anti-Mormon? Because yesterday, actually, when I was flying back to Salt Lake, I had a coworker of mine asking me about my background with Mormonism, and I was like, well, you know what, I'll tell you all about it if you promise me not be judgmental and just listen. And I told him, okay, this is the film, I show him the website, so now, would you, and he says, well, I don't know if I want to watch the film, because he showed me a film about Jesus Christ, and I was like, I'm willing to watch a film. That doesn't mean that I believe it, but are you willing to watch mine? And he's like, well, no, because all that it does is talk bad about the Mormon Church. And so he called it anti-Mormon. And how would you respond to that if somebody, you know, said that to you?
Okay, I know that there are people who will accuse us of being anti-Mormon. We did not set out to make a film about the church, about the church's doctrine. This is a film about people. This is a film about your experiences. We were just documenting your experiences. It was not an attack on the church or on its theology.
Let me say something. Some of you might have heard the podcast we did the other night. And one of the people that was on the panel was about as bold-faced TBM as you could get. And he's continued his rant on the comments on the blog. But when we finished the interview, they thought we had hung up and logged off, and we didn't. Of course, she was beating me to hang up because she thought we were being voyeurs of listening to this. But we heard the panel talk, and the individual that was, his name was Mike, the TBM, was very upset because he was convinced that we were ex-Mormons. And when he realized we were ex, he said this. He said, when I realized they were ex-Mormons, I didn't have any questions for them. Because his whole response to us was to beat us up for being ex-Mormons. We were angry, we were this, we were that, we were the other thing. And the fact that we weren't absolutely took his breath away. Now, to answer Susanna's question, it's anti-Mormon if you need an excuse to respond to it. It's anti-Mormon if you don't want to look at the truth. You know, and it can be anything you want it to be. What you bring, huh?
Pro-truth.
Yeah, that's even a better way to say it, pro-truth. For us, we see some quirky things, some things. In fact, we were asked on the blog or on the webcast if it was a cult. You believed, and Mike asked, you believe this is a cult? Well, what I believed and what I said are two different things. I wasn't going to open it up and let the hash starts being slung and flung on the podcast because that's what they wanted, and we didn't give it to them. The same thing when they asked us if we were defending homosexuality. You know, I'm not getting into that. You know, I know what you think and what you believe and that was Satan and the devil and everything else. So I think we're going to get that quite a bit. After today, I think it's really going to happen quite a bit. And we're hoping that when we show our preview or our premiere in Portland 2 weeks from now, that we have pickets out in front of the theater. It'd be good.
Tell them about you getting the CD up and it's already sold.
Oh, yeah. On our website, www.intheshadowofthetemple.com, you can get it on our business cards out in front. And DVDs are for sale out in front, too. We went up at 5:30 on Friday or on Thursday. Live on the web, and which is then you could buy DVDs. At 5:48, we sold our first DVD. We have sold them from South Carolina to Michigan to Utah to California to Oregon. And that's what I wanted to say. It's important to know this. Karen mentioned that, you know, we have to do some marketing on this. The only way that this DVD is going to have an impact is through word of mouth. We're not going to get a lot of press on this because some people don't want to touch it. And as many of you know, we got totally shut out in the Utah or Salt Lake City press. Nobody would touch it, even though we contacted everybody. And maybe that's the best way for it to happen, is word of mouth, is you tell somebody and they get to see it and they can get it on the website or whatever. And again, four of us talked about it at lunch, that we put our own money into this film. Nobody paid for this but us. And that's another thing that
we've been asked because they thought there was somebody fronting us so we could get the church. This is all out of our own pockets. My granddaughter isn't going to be going to college because I've already spent that money. But if the payback on this DVD isn't financial, more importantly, it's if it affects positively the lives of the people in this room and everybody that sees it. That's much more beneficial to us than anything. But I'm not going to stop you from buying the DVD. But and it goes back to what Karen said a minute ago. You know, how are we different? We didn't know it existed. And once we found out about it, we got to tell the story. And that's why we're here. Thank you. Sure.
I'm sorry. I, of course, don't believe in revelation, but I literally had a revelation at the end of that movie. I learned something so profound that I didn't understand, I never even thought of. And I told you all my story last night, and I'll make this real quick, but once I decided to leave the church and make that journey, my husband became so, so horribly mean to me. And so abusive emotionally. And I told the women in a small group here, you know what he did to me. Is this on record? Is this going on a tape recording?
Man.
I want to say it. Can I say that story quickly? Or no? Maybe no. I won't. But hideous things. And what I want to say is because of that movie, what I realized was the night that I asked him, I told him I want a divorce, he just said, okay. It was because he did not have the balls to ask for the divorce that he was mean, 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 because he wanted to make me do it. And I thank you so much. That was a beautiful movie.